The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered. Like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host, Timo Obersdaley. We're back for another off-season episode. This time, we're going to be reviewing all the action from this year's Formula 4 UAE Championship. But in order to do that, I've ditched the other two because they've been useless on this one, and I've joined instead by Via Motorsports' Olivia Eisen. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. How are you? I'm good, thank you. I'm happy to be on here. I love seeing what you guys have been up to on Instagram, so really happy to be joining you guys for an episode.
Well, keep talking like that and we'll definitely invite you back in the future. So, as mentioned, we're here to talk about everything F4 UAE 2023. So, first of all, what history do you have with the series and what were your general thoughts on this year's campaign?
So, I've always been into Formula One, but I was looking for people racing that were more similar to my age. So, I definitely started looking into the junior formulas, and then it was a rabbit hole from there. So Formula 2, Formula 3, moving into Formula 4, especially in the winter break, like there's literally never any racing. So Formula 4 UAE has always been really great because it's just something to watch. This campaign I found really, really interesting to watch because there's so many youngsters moving up the ranks and they've really impressed me. The racing's been really good, especially for their age. So I've really enjoyed it.
No, definitely. Formula 2 and Formula 3 were very much a gateway drug to all of these other junior formulas. And I don't regret getting into those. It just means that you have even less of a weekend. But at the same time, you don't mind too much.
Exactly. So entertaining. So,
and like you say, there's been a lot of drivers in the junior categories moving up at a ridiculously rapid pace and nowhere really for them to go. So it's frustrating on that respect. But you're glad that you get to see them at least racing somewhere. Like, okay,
exactly.
How do I find 20 seats all of a sudden without losing anyone that I like as well? So it's a whole thing. And there's definitely some names from this year's F4 UAE campaign that I hope we get to see at least in F2 and F3, even if they don't necessarily make it up to F1. I mean, there's plenty of other places they can go after that. But that's a future problem. We'll deal with that when we get there. We've got at least a couple of years before we have to worry about that. So I think, first of all, I'm just going to jump through the top five for the Drivers' Championship. Yeah. And we can have a little bit of a talk about that. So reverse order. I'll go for reverse order. We had in fifth place Arvid Lindveld, 107 points with one win and a further two podiums. Also worth noting, he's part of the Red Bull Junior Academy /Army, as they seem to have a ridiculous amount of there. Fourth place, we had Valerio Rinicella. I knew I was going to mess up one name. 171 points with six podiums. Then third place, we've got McLaren's new favourite person in the world, Hugo Uchoa, with 185 points, five wins and another three podiums. Second place, Tuukka Toponen, 212 points with four wins and a further six podiums. And then in first place, winning the championship, we had James Wharton with 232 points with four wins and seven podiums. Interestingly there, not necessarily the most wins overall, but just that consistency.
Yeah, exactly. I think, it's more about how many podiums you get. It's more about scoring consistently than the wins, because I already thought that Hugo Uchoa was going to win the whole championship, but then it just kind of fell away from him at the end. But we'll discuss that further later, I feel like. But yeah, consistency is key, and it shows really with James's win.
We saw that a lot last year with Formula 2 and Formula 3 as well, with Drogovic and Martins. They didn't get anywhere near as many wins as we expected them to, and just shows how crazy those two categories can be and the consistency you need there, like you say. But, and this is no offence against James Wharton, but he's just not someone I've really come across prior to this championship. And again, it's early days, I get that, but you know Hugo, you hear a lot of noise around it, and fair enough, he's clearly skilled, but you think, why was Zac Brown not looking at maybe James Wharton, or why is Red Bull not looking there, or have they been and I've just missed that completely? You know, you wonder what's going on there. And again, New Zealand, as far as I'm aware, so good racing heritage from that country. You'd think, surely he's got to get a bit more attention now after winning this.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like the Ferrari Driver Academy's definitely bagged a few good races, and but the other team should be looking a bit younger, honestly, to get them in quicker, because Ferrari, I've looked into this more, but like they're scouting how they get people into the academies. By scouting across all the continents, they get the best talent, whereas I feel like the other teams are left kind of short with obviously still talented drivers, but if you start getting in there with, like you said, James Wharton, it's not a name that you hear very often, but Ferrari have already taken him, and clearly it's paying off because he's won. So yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting as well then to compare which teams take which driver under the wing, and then how soon do you hear about them as much, or do you have to, like you say, go looking for them to find out these
Yeah.
things? Whereas with Arvid and Ugo, you just know about them, which is just curious to see what different operations are going on there to boost their profiles. But all five of them, I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, it's a bit late to join Formula 3 this year, but next year, be surprised if we don't at least see a couple of them.
Yeah, I agree.
But
Hopefully, we'll be seeing a few of them move up.
yeah, no, definitely. I mean, Ugo definitely, Zach's been putting so much kind of talk his way, and I mean, five wins as well. It's not anything to be kind of shaking your stick at. Kind of not comfortably beating Valerio. It could have been closer, but decent and kind of, but again, a little bit in no man's land in third place there with such a big jump up to second and first place there. It's interesting as well, like you were saying before, who's getting more attention where and how that's going to impact later on. But again, Formula 4 is a crazy championship. You've got so many races over a weekend, short races, and if you have a compromised race, it can really just be damage limitation for the rest of the weekend then if you're not careful.
Exactly. I feel like with 39 or something like 39 cars on the grid as well, it's so easy to get into accidents. So though you wouldn't be making risky moves, it's also about just getting through corners cleanly. So that's why I think consistency is so key, because you can be making those gutsy moves, but then if you are out, like you said, that is the whole race compromised and there aren't many chances to get that back up. So yeah.
I should apologize to all the other drivers that we don't get round to mentioning on this podcast, because like you said, there's so many of them that you can have a really great drive, but if you're starting somewhere like 32nd and you make your way up to 15th, that's awesome, but you still don't get any points, and it's
Of
really
course.
brutal.
Yeah, 100%. Like top 10 points, but then you've got 29 other drivers. They could be doing their own thing back there, but you don't really see it. So I agree. Yeah.
It's the one time I wouldn't mind the implementation of IndyCar points where everyone gets something.
Exactly. Just like to award people who are, they are really talented, but if they just start further back, they do. And that's
Well, it's one
kind
of
of how
those
it
things,
goes.
maybe implement something where the driver with the most overtakes in a race, but if you still are outside of the points, you get a couple of points because you've worked hard to get to where you are. And if you make it 15 places, it's a more impressive drive in some respects than someone going from 10th to first.
I agree, 100%, yeah.
Want to give another shout out though to Zachary David, because he was the only other driver to win a race this year, that which was in Kuwait, round one, race three. Which the fact that I've got to say round one, race three is fun in
In
itself.
fact.
Noah Lyle also wins a shout out for coming third in the same round and being the driver lowest down in the standings, so 19th overall, to get onto the podium. So again, it's nice to, you still get a little bit of a mixed bag there, not quite as much as you
Yeah.
might like, but again, impressive that you can have those races still where maybe it doesn't go to plan for those nearer the top, and you get a bit of a wild, hungry 2021 situation if we're going to go back to F1.
I understand, yeah. But I like to see those kind of standout performances from people that you don't really see that often. It just shakes it up a bit because we did see the top five kind of alternating on the podium, but seeing people from further down also showing their talent is really impressive.
It's interesting with the top five as well, from what I saw, that they either had a great weekend, whether it be on the podium or winning, or they DNF'd. It wasn't kind of this middle ground very often. I think you had one bad result maybe for Jack, but that was about, or James, sorry, but that's about as
Yeah.
mediocre as you would get there. It's impressive consistency, but then when it goes really wrong. Whereas all these others, they're battling away for it, but nothing else is kind of, you can't do much about that again if you're just on the
Exactly.
cusp of points.
It's like everything or nothing, which is really interesting again, because if you look at Valerio, obviously he didn't get any wins, but it was those podiums that I feel like certified him in fourth place.
And again, by quite a margin as well, when you compare to Arvid, 107 points for him, 171 points for Valeri, but Arvid still won a race. But yeah. Valerio just kept putting it in there for an in there. So again, I'm not 100% sure if he's been signed up by any academy yet, but if it hasn't happened, then he will be soon, I'm sure, with doing something like that. Especially, like you say, with Red Bull driver in fifth.
Yeah, exactly. So put himself between Red Bull, they've got McLaren, we've also got Ferrari. I feel like he'll definitely be one that teams will be looking to sign up, which is really great.
I'd be hoping maybe if they're looking more to develop this side of things, Aston Martin maybe taking a little look there. They obviously took Drogovic, who wasn't assigned to anyone up to that point, and he had to go and win F2 in his third season before he could even get affiliated. So
exactly.
You never know. It feels like they like these characters who are a bit out of the circle a little bit.
For
lack of a better phrase there. So maybe that's something for them to. I'll call that now. That'll be my prediction.
When it happens, everyone will come back and know, because it's like you can be successful 100%. Like Drogovic did win the whole of F2, but I think these driver academies are really important, and they're becoming more and more important with more drivers joining racing. To have these teams supporting you, putting money into you, marketing you, and all those sort of things, because it is so important for sponsors and all sorts of things. It is just very expensive to go on your individual kind of route through the formulas.
It's also proving to be more difficult if you're not associated with any team, even loosely, to get into that ultimate goal of F1. And you can make it up to F2, like we've seen with Drogovic and Boshong, for example, who just keeps plugging away. And I don't think he's ever going to necessarily get to F1, unfortunately for him. But
it's
frustrating, sort of, because you see a driver that is as talented as Drogovic. And okay, it took him a little while to get going, but he got there, and he got the call at the right time. And it's still ultimately a reserve position, but he's putting that to good use this week when we're recording this episode, as he's in testing thanks to Stroll. But you can't be relying on those kind of things to get you there. It's frustrating that talent won't be enough to get you over the line there. But hopefully someone snaps him up soon.
Exactly. I agree.
I did put a section in here on who else impressed, and we do have a couple of crossovers between who we've chosen here, which I think is worth mentioning. So go for the first one of those. I'll talk about that one, and then I'll let you have the second one. We both have Hamda Al-Qabasi, who, if for no other reason in the final race, proves how far she's willing to go to score some points.
100%. Obviously very stressful to watch her get injured, and I'm hoping she's recovering well, but she just really is gutsy with her moves. I'm personally a bit biased. I really like Hamda, but I just think she's a big talent, and obviously I think it was Italian F4, she became the first woman to get a podium. She is always, I feel like, at the forefront of these young women making the junior formulas, and I think she's definitely someone to keep an eye out for in the future.
No, she's very calm and collected approach behind the wheel, and just goes about her business and doesn't just jump into a category for the sake of it. She gives it a lot of thought beforehand, like, right, what can I do here? How will it benefit me? What can I really do to improve myself as a driver? And it's just a really good approach to have, and I do hope that I mean, we've got until April for her to get her arm better if my prediction of her joining F1 Academy is going to happen. But if she doesn't turn up there, then I still think that by this time next year someone's got to snap her up, because it's a no-brainer for me.
Exactly. I agree. I also predicted her for F1 Academy. I'm really hoping to see her in there. But I think also, like you said, it's just this very serious attitude behind the car. I think it's very obvious that she comes from a racing family, because she just gets on with it. And I think that's really important, especially with people do doubt women, I feel like, in the categories. And so certain times, though you want to support them in like the Formula 3s or Formula 4s, like you said, it does seem like they're just kind of, I don't know how to say this without sounding mean, but they're going, but they're not really like really proving themselves in said category. Hamda goes, she makes an impact, and I thought that's important, rather than just going and kind of staying.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. It's a tricky one, because I was having a conversation with someone about this the other day, where in order for you to be taken seriously by everyone else there, you have to not only beat everyone else, you've got to win convincingly. And you've got to do it in at least the same machinery. You can't have better machinery. It's got to be at least the same or worse to show that you're even better than them in some ways. And it's just a ridiculous expectation, because you wouldn't be thinking that of all the other drivers that are on the grid that are strangely not women. So
100%.
It does make you
yeah.
scratch your head, but like you say, she's got this calm, cool-headed approach, raising family, good backing, and very much just a very fun person off track as well. She doesn't take it herself too seriously there, and I think that is a very nice balance to have there, which is also a common trait for the second person we've got on our list.
Yeah, we've got Bianca Bustamante. I feel like she's really impressed me. I think she's going to be a growing talent. Obviously, she's joining F1 Academy this season, so I think it was very important for her to be in F4UAE, especially because...
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Obviously, she raced in W Series last season, but I wanted to see how she fit in this kind of mixed-gendered field. And, I mean, she impressed me personally with her points and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, and as well, she's been very consistent in her racing in terms of there's not been a lot of time off for her. Like you say, she had W Series, but then not long after that, she went over to India and raced in the Indian Racing League there. And... okay, it may not have been it's still a very new championship, so they're not going to get everything perfect, but it's good seat time at least. Some is better than none. It gives you a bit of something else, a good bit of experience, and you never know what you might learn from that you can apply somewhere else. And then obviously jumping straight into F4UAE, then going into F1 Academy, it's nice to just keep building and building and building.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can get some more of that, because I'd love to see her in Formula 3 next year. And another one of these characters who... very big following off track, not just from her home country but globally, and W Series has helped a bit with that, but she's just been very smart on her decisions and just very approachable. So it's nice to see that we've got these younger drivers, because obviously we have the Jamie Chadwicks, the Alice Powers and W Series, but it's nice to see that there are the younger ones coming up a bit as well. I'm making it sound like Jamie and Alice are so old, but you know.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree, because people, I feel like they use them as examples, but it's important to keep it running, that we always have fresh talent coming through. And I agree. I think it's very smart of her to grow her following, because that's only going to help her when it comes to sponsors and trying to further her career. Having this big following and all this motivation behind her is definitely going to pay off. And I think it's very smart of her. And it does make her come across as very approachable.
Definitely, and I've said, I'll mention a couple of two, because even though their campaigns didn't go brilliantly for them, it was great. Again, like we were saying above, that we've got some more women coming through, names that are familiar to us from W Series, and in the former's case, in this instance, for F1 Academy for this year, in Leah Bula and Emily De Hoys. So I think it's one of the things where, if we go back a couple of years, you'd be happy to see one woman in one championship of this nature on the grid, and that's kind of box ticked, you know? Wow, we've done this. But now it's four women, at least, in F4 UAE. We've then obviously got Sophia Flörsch back in F3. Hopefully at some point, with F2 being as crazy as we can, get someone in there. But again, it's just good to see that there's more coming up through there, and even if we only get one or two, that's still more than we had, so we need to keep building on that. So it's, even if it didn't go to plan, good that we got them there.
Yeah, it's really great to see them in so many different categories as well. It's becoming less, oh, we've got some women in, you know, this category, but it's more like we've got F3, we've got Formula Regional European Championship, we've got F1 Academy. So I think it's just good to have that spread. And like you said, just keep it moving and always have someone there and competing at a high level. So really exciting stuff to see.
Before we move on to the next session, I want to say, because we had Dubai, we had Kuwait, and we had Abu Dhabi. Was there any one of those tracks that you enjoyed the most for the racing?
Oh. That's a good question. I found Kuwait, it exceeded my expectations, because when they were like, we're going to go to Kuwait Motor Town, I was like, okay, but that country is already known for their racing as such. So I was a bit like, but it came out with good action, and I really enjoyed it. And I also really liked Abu Dhabi as well, because, you know, I mean, it's called F4 UAE for a reason. I think that's really impressive.
No, definitely. No, I'd agree with that. It's interesting with Abu Dhabi, because you get such a mixture of racing there depending on which category you have. So F1, it's always kind of seen as a bit of a, a weird one to end the season with, maybe, because it's just seen as here's a Sunday drive to finish off the year, which is not the most exciting, but it's nice to look at. Dubai, you don't see too much of that in single seaters, so it's just nice to get that there. But then Kuwait, like you say, it's just a bit different, so it's just nice to see these different tracks. And you're not, if you're very much focused on F1, you get a little bit of a different spread for a channel. Maybe we could see someone go here for a change, just for, otherwise you'd have to switch to endurance racing, for example, because that's the other place we've seen the Dubai track this year so far. But again, it's just different, so I enjoyed it just for the sake of variety, if nothing else.
Because I feel like racing's very, like, high-level racing. People think of Europe, they think of America. So I think it's just good to have different continents getting involved. Even, this is random, but Formula E obviously going to Cape Town this weekend. I think it's becoming more and more of a global sport. Because I know racing, like, say, was global before, but it did seem
there's global and there's global
in Europe. Exactly. So I think it's good to get around all the continents. And is it kind of, is it, I can't even speak, it's exciting stuff. So yeah,
no, you've got to at least try out some of these new places, see what it's like, and again maybe explore some continents a bit more. If you only have Brazil, for example, as your one South America, maybe try out another country down there whilst you're there, you know, these kinds of things. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But it's, I think that was one of the big successes of 2020 F1, was that you got limited racing, but you got to go back to a couple of tracks you hadn't been to in a while, and you got to go to a couple of new ones, and it was just a lot of fun. So I think that variety really spiced it up and helps F4 stand out a lot then with this category, because it's a region that is still building up its motorsport history. We can see that a lot from F1 in particular. And it's good for these drivers as well, because it's not just the same old tracks in Europe that they're going around necessarily all the time, because there's not a lot of Middle Eastern drivers at the top of this field, or even in the field at all. There's a few of them, but not too many. So it's good to see that they get that variety of experience, because then in turn that makes them look more appealing to teams and sponsors and whatever. So
even I think if you're from that country and you see this thing going on, it might inspire you more. So it's always about getting new generations of racing from different areas, because we know racing is very big in Europe. There's lots of British drivers, etc. But getting racing talent who you never know could be the next big thing, like from the Arab nations or from, like you said, another country in South America, having racing there will motivate them, because you see a lot of F1 drivers saying, oh, I went to Silverstone, that's what inspired me, or I went to whatever race and that's what really got me into it. So I think that's really important as well.
No, definitely. So Formula 4, UAE also had the Rookie Championship, which top five drivers, I would go again there with a couple of names that we also know about. So fifth place was the aforementioned Zachary David there. Fourth place, Federico Riffi. Third place, Kenno Alozari. Second, Arvid Lindaut. And then first, Tuukka Toponen once again there. A couple of familiar names to what we saw earlier, and a couple of new ones. So it's nice to get consistency and variety there.
Yeah, 100%. And lots of them are going to be going into F4, and they will be racing against each other. So it'll be exciting to see how that changes throughout the season, because obviously we can start off with this, but how does that actually translate across the full season? Because I know last season, I literally just, like, I remember this. It was Formula Regional Asia. It would be Formula Regional Middle Eastern Championship now. Arthur Leclerc won it at the beginning of the season, but then by the end of that F3 season, he finished like sixth. So it'll be exciting to see how people actually change, because nothing's set in stone. You can win at the beginning of the season, but it's about how you develop and build on your performances.
Well, very much so. And one interesting thing I did obviously spot there is that there's a 100-point difference between first and second there, which is tremendous and just kind of ridiculous at the same time. And with F3 being as fluid as it can be at time, for a 30-driver championship, last year had about 40 drivers. So it wouldn't be ridiculous to think that at least two or three of these drivers might go into F3 even for a little bit. And you mentioned Arthur Kerr there as someone who did well at the beginning of last year, then finished outside the top five in F3, still managed to get promoted to F2 for this year as after that, possibly partly to do with his name, but, you know, sixth place and all that. Top 10 if we're being nice. So you never know, one of these five drivers, if they can pull something magical out the bag and get a chance even for a couple of rounds in F3 this year, who knows, they could be in F2 this time next year.
100%. There's always a couple drivers that they get promoted. Sometimes you're a bit confused on how that went about, but it always happens. I think in F2, it would be Brad Benavides. He finished something like 23rd in F3, but he's still gone up to F2. Who knows? Maybe he'll surprise me, but you do always see the situations. And then Felipe Drugovich, when he moved up from F3 to F2, I know he didn't finish very well in F3, something like in, like, definitely below the top 10. But obviously, we did see him win F2 in the end. So results aren't always the full picture, but it'll be exciting to see maybe people that you don't expect to progress that do actually progress.
I think by this logic, then we should expect someone from around 15th downwards in their 4 UAE championship to go into F3 and
Just
be a
like the
sneaky
bottom of
surprise
the
there.
grid. Yeah, just like the bottom of the grid, 100% will become the next
I'm
winner.
not interested unless you're 39th out of 40.
100%. No one needs first place.
No. First place overrated. Sorry, Tucker. The Constructors' Championship, then top three will go through that. Third place, Prema Racing, 190 points. Second place, MP Motorsport, 223 points. Both names we're familiar with. First place, however, a team that is not in F2 or F3, Mumbai Falcons Racing Limited, with a whopping 444 points. Fair to say they did all right here.
100%. They had some very good drivers on Formula 4 UAE and also Formula Regional Middle Eastern Championship. They won both, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, it's fair to say they did well. I find it quite interesting, though. We see a lot of drivers that normally race with Prema. When it comes to these championships, they do like jump over, obviously, this time of Mumbai Falcons. But I do find that interesting that they don't actually stick with their normal teams.
Yeah, and as well, Prema is a team that is usually dominant in F2 and F3, and F2 not really at all last year, and F3 they did pretty well from memory, but again it was nowhere near as convincing as they usually are. So I wonder if there's
Yeah.
maybe a change of the guard there. And like you say, with Mumbai Falcons Racing Limited doing so well in these junior championships, maybe they have their own kind of feeder series plan themselves. It would be nice to see them come into F3 maybe, or into a different category, and just kind of keep developing, because while it's not uncommon for drivers to jump ship from team to team for their own career interests, it'd be nice to have that through way, and maybe if not into F3, F1 Academy maybe, or something like this, is to see how well that would grow after this year.
Yeah, 100%. Especially because there's some teams we see in F3 and F2, not to call them out by name, but like Shreeze Racing, that we do kind of see at the bottom of the grid. It wouldn't hurt to have another team that is so successful just come in and give drivers that need that chance, maybe in a better car, that chance to
Well,
have
exactly. You
success.
always just want to give them the opportunity, and if it doesn't work out, then fair enough, but at least you can say that the opportunity was there.
Exactly.
Any final points on the 2023 F4 UAE season from your end?
Final points, I'd say, yeah, it was a good season. Very exciting. I'm finding it very interesting how the drivers in each driver academy are like planning out. And it seems that Ferrari definitely have their hands on some very good drivers. Obviously, we know their driver academy is like amazing. They've obviously nurtured the likes of Charles Leclerc, so maybe they've got another one up their sleeve. But yeah, very interesting to see how each team's F1 team's junior drivers are faring in these competitions, but it's also exciting to see how they will perform next season, F4.
I'll go back to what you were saying earlier about it being some very nice quality racing in the off season, where you don't always get to see an awful lot, and it's got some great overtaking there, and it's just a very good advert for junior series at this level, because there's so many different F4 championships spread all over the
Yeah.
place. And I remember dipping in and out of the F4 US Championship last year, saw some great racing there in COTA, for example. So again, it's nice to see that at a familiar track, but in this case, great to see that in the UAE and the other countries around there, with drivers that maybe we'll never see most of them again, but you'll see two or three, and you'll be like, huh, I remember you, when you get all the way up to F2, and that's just always very satisfying as a race fan. And with it being a relatively short championship at a point of time in the year where there's not much going on, it is very easy to commit to it and dip in and out of, and highlights are readily available. It's not tricky to find or to watch online. So I think we need more of that in motorsports, so it's nice that we have that at this level.
Yeah. I think 100%. It's also great to have something for these young drivers to do because they're always looking for more experiences. So it's great to have these sort of championships in the off season instead of just trying to train for the next season, because obviously the best way to train is actually racing. So, like you said, it's really entertaining as well.
Exactly. Well, that is all we've got time for on this very quick but necessary review for the F4 UAE Championship. Olivia, where can people find you in the meantime if they would like to see a bit more of you?
Well, you can find my blog or my Instagram under VIA Motorsport, but my TikTok is under Liv Loves Cars. I post on there a lot, probably too much. And then I also have a podcast where I actually interview young drivers from across the world called Global Racing Podcast, and you can go check it out.
Perfect. I'll stick all the details. That's the word I'm looking for. Details for
Yeah.
that in the description below. And as for myself, you can find me on the curbs, the Natural X podcast, Paddock Passion, Paddock Sorority, Is It Fast, and Instagram. Like you with TikTok, I'm on those far too much. I do a little bit of everything.
Fine.
In the meantime, thank you all very much for listening to this episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Let us know if you did and who else from the F4 UAE Championship stood out to you in the comments. And until next time, goodbye.